Ryan's body felt drained, and as he glanced down at himself, he saw that he was a mass of patched bruises, mostly fresh and purple, where the river had pounded him. His wrist chron told him that it was still an hour shy of midnight. The pile of wood had diminished, and Ryan glanced again into the blackness beyond. Lying warm and naked by the side of Kate was a good feeling. It wasn't one that he wanted to disturb. But that had been the last pyrotab. Ryan was as good a backwoods survival expert as any ever born, but not even he could conjure fire from nothing. JB had once demonstrated, back on Warwag 1, that it was possible to start a fire from almost nothing, but it had involved a small bow and a pile of carefully tended tinder and sawdust and the right kinds of wood. The armorer had labored for a good quarter hour, scraping away until sweat burst from his forehead, drilling until the small hole began to show a tiny thread of dark smoke. Then had come an inelegant struggle on hands and knees, blowing to make the scorched wood glow, dropping a few pinches of the sawdust until it finally caught. Ryan grinned to himself at the memory of the ironic cheer that had greeted JB's achievement. The trader had remarked dryly that it reminded him of watching a frog trying to shit a bowling ball. In the cold and damp, Ryan recognized the utter impossibility of trying to repeat the armorer's laborious achievement. Very slowly, he eased himself sideways, not disturbing the sleeping woman. He hauled on his pants and the crumpled t-shirt, picked up the Sig Sauer, and moved to the mouth of the cave. It was a fine night, the stars pin sharp and diamond bright. The moon was almost hidden behind the peaks opposite, filling half the valley with a clear, cold light. The river had risen, but was running steadily, not showing any signs of coming higher up and threatening their hiding place. It was freezing hard, and Ryan's bare feet began to feel cold as he moved slowly over the bank of icy shingle. He reached the mountain of driftwood and paused again, taking a long, slow look around him. Down toward the sulfur mines, he could see reflected lights and a narrow plume of smoke rising steadily into the windless sky. His eye was caught by a flicker of movement, way across the far side of the valley, high up on the slope of the hill. Ryan stared intently into the shadowed blackness, using the old hunter's trick of looking slightly to one side. But the movement wasn't repeated, and he decided that it must have been an animal on an isolated track. A goat, perhaps. Or maybe a sec hunter droid. The fire responded eagerly to fresh wood, blazing up brightly, the flames throwing capering shadows across the hewn walls and the low roof. Kate stirred at the brightness, rolling on her side, but not waking. Ryan slipped under the covers, his own body cold from the night air. But the woman was hot, her shoulders and back moist with perspiration. He pressed against her, one arm going across her shoulders. His knees fitted comfortably behind hers, her buttocks warm against his groin, snug as two spoons in a drawer. Eventually, Ryan slept again.
First light.
Ryan blinked his eye open, feeling infinitely better and stronger than when he'd fallen asleep the previous evening. He stretched and looked around the cave. The fire had crumbled again into glowing embers, a pale haze of gray smoke hanging above it.
Could do with something to eat.
What?
Some quick fried back bacon with a mess of hash browns and four eggs.
How do you like your eggs, Ryan?
Any way they come.
Anything else?
Maybe a couple of slices of fresh-baked bread with salted butter. Some strawberry preserve.
Coffee?
Sure. Hot and strong enough to float a steel wrench.
Coming right up, sir.
Kate was wearing only a skimpy shirt, and she curtsied to him, mimicking the gaudy sluts in Frontierville's.
And is there anything else you want?
Ryan didn't answer, standing up and starting to get dressed with his usual quiet, unhurried efficiency. The morning looked bright and clear, though all the rocks he could see outside were white with frost.
So, what do we do today, Ryan?
I try and get inside the mines, try and find my son, try and get out alive, and then get the hell out of this place.
And what about me?
Ryan knelt to lace the steel-toed combat boots, not even looking up at the young woman.
You?
Yeah. What about me? You just gonna leave me here?
Ryan tested the knot before straightening and finally facing Kate.
You walk your road, and I'll walk mine. You understand?
Yeah. You leave me to die.
I never asked you to come. You and Cody both. But you'd have been chilled for sure anyway.
So you gave me an extra day, is that it? Thanks a lot, Ryan. Big fucking friend you are.
That's the way it is.
Take me with you.
I don't have the time.
Please!
Time's wasting. Early morning's good to get in. Everyone's tired. Probably a shift change. I gotta move now.
Kate took a half step toward him, and Ryan wondered for a moment whether she'd try to threaten him, or make him some kind of an offer that she hoped he'd find difficult to refuse. She did neither. She simply let her arms drop to her sides, her head hanging, eyes down at her feet. Ryan watched her, still wary in case she went for a knife.
You got no choice, Ryan.
How's that?
I'm coming anyway. You can't stop me. And if you try, then I'll betray you to the Ruski.
He was moving toward her, but she hadn't noticed.
If you leave me here to die, I'll... Oh!
The roundhouse slap along the side of her jaw sent her flying across the cave, her feet dancing for balance, finally falling, just short of the warm ashes of the fire.
I'm sorry.
Bastard!
You made a real mistake, Kate. Closed off all the doors for yourself.
His hand went for the hilt of his panga. She sat up, rubbing her fingers over swollen lips, bringing them away, staring at the smear of crimson.
Wait! I didn't mean it. Wouldn't turn my coat for you.
It's too late.
His eye was like flint, and his lips were a chiseled line of anger.
No!
Ryan tried to patiently explain, as though she were a fractious 5-year-old child.
You have to understand this, Kate. There are lines you don't cross. My son is probably in those mines. And you're my main threat at this moment.
The cleaver was out, gripped firmly, and he was close to her. One foot was in front of the other, like an antique print of a samurai swordsman, poised to strike the lethal blow.
I wouldn't, really...
It doesn't matter anymore. Don't you see that, Kate? Words are spilled. You can't put them back.
Oh, Judith.
Kate lowered her head onto her thin arms, her cropped hair as black as jet. Her nape was exposed, giving him the perfect killing opportunity. He raised the blade, his muscles tightening in his forearm.
I know my way all around the inside of the yellow mines.
You do?
Kate didn't move, remaining in a frozen, huddled ball.
Yeah.
The 18-inch blade slithered into the soft leather of its scabbard. Ryan touched her on the back of the neck, feeling her flinch.
Get up and dress. We got places to go.
You believe me?
If I didn't believe you, then...
Just above the flood mark of the river, there was a straggling line of stunted pines, their tops weighted down with snow. Ryan led the way through them, pausing every few yards to look around, making sure there were no set guards patrolling this far from the main entrance to the mines. The slopes above them were deserted, though he spotted a fall of jagged rock that looked fresh, the hillside showing a bright scar. Ryan moved fast, only glancing over his shoulder every now and again to make sure that the young woman was still keeping up with him. It was bitterly cold, but in dry clothes, well protected, it was little hardship.
Hold it!
He called a halt as the gorge dogleg to the right. His breath billowed out around his mouth and nose in a white plume.
Wait here while I wreck.
Sure. You'll come back, Ryan.
To fish his shit in the sea? Yeah, I'll be back. No more than 10 minutes.
He was as good as his word. The belt of trees thickened, spreading to 100 feet wide over a shallow bank of rocks and dirt. Keeping well within the shadowed depths, Ryan picked his way forward until he could see the scene of busy activity that was Grigory Zemyanin's sulfur mines. He collected Kate, and the two of them crouched among the brush, as close as they could safely get to the river without being spotted. There was a narrow-gauge railway line, with a small locomotive chugging busily up and down, towing a row of rusted iron trucks behind it. Beyond that were a number of huts of various sizes, with people milling about outside them. At that distance, it wasn't possible to make out any details, but Ryan could clearly see the guards, each with a distinctive silver circle on his cap. There were at least 50 of them, all carrying blasters.
We'll never get in there. The river lies between them and the mine, and the nearest guard's at least 200 yards away.
Ryan didn't answer, his fighting mind working in high gear, weighing options and opportunities. There was one enormous factor in their favor.
All the workers look about the same. No kind of uniform. Just a collection of ragged-ass people.
Like you and me.
K Kate smiled for the first time since they left the cave.
Right. Just like you and me.
The river was about 15 feet wide at that point, but it ran fast and deep.